Radio. WWGH here at 107.1 FM, and we're having an interesting discussion this morning. You're listening to On the Air with Glenn Coble and Scott Spears, or Scott Spears and Glenn Coble. Got to get he gets paid more than I do. Anyway, if you're interested in calling in, our phone number here, I'll give it to you twice, 740-383-9944. At 740-383-9944, and we hope you join us in conversation here. Hey, Scott, you back?
I'm here.
All right, cool. Hey, how about that timing? I got that down perfect today.
That was good. Now do the promos for the rest of the day.
I have no idea who's coming on today.
Oh, well, we've got the Dr. Feinman and Glenn Coble show coming up next hour at 12:15.
Hopefully with no wrinkles.
Well, it's not on our end today because the two calls we've had, they've both heard you.
Yeah, okay.
So it's going to have to be Dr. Feinman's hearing aid today if he can hear.
Shoot, go ahead.
Offbeat news and trivia with Nate Redman at 4 p.m. Then we've got live at 5. Now, Terry Tackett was on there last week, so we've got Terry Tackett, Pastor Craig, Nate Redman at 5:15.
And crazy guys.
I know. The Trinity Baptist Church Sunday sermon at 6:15. You know, I'll tell you, Pastor Craig, well, remind me to get back to that because I didn't say something I wanted to say the first hour. Then we're going to come back to that.
Okay, I love that guy. I'll remind you.
Yes, please do. I'm with you on that. today we got the finalization of our county commissioner primary with Dr. Davis and Ken Stiverson. Okay. And as of 7:19 this morning, Dr. Davis did win the primary, so he did defeat the incumbent, Ken Stiverson. He had a 44-vote lead going into the provisional and absentee ballot count. And he extended his lead to 56 votes, which is what usually happens. I've never seen an overturn an election on absentee and provisional ballots. Sometimes the margin shrinks, sometimes it gets a little bigger, but I've never seen one overturned on those. It's interesting that he beat the longtime incumbent.
Yeah. Now, listening to him, you interviewed him one time, and matter of fact, I was here in the station while you were interviewing him, and a very intelligent gentleman, and I think he'd do a good job.
Well, when he was on this morning, what I found he's very accessible to the media. He's very accessible, clearly, to the voters. Something swung in his way.
Yep.
And he's clearly, he said some stuff this morning. We interviewed him right before Renacci.
Oh, I missed it.
And he was talking about just that the city and the county maybe should get together better, that when he went out, nobody knew any of the county commissioners. He thinks that's a problem, that they should be known more in the community, that all politicians should be more accessible. And he's talked to people who feel that some local ones are not. So I just wanted to reiterate again that is now finalized, and Dr. Davis, it is official, will be the Republican candidate in the fall for county commissioner.
Now, we got a caller. Let's go to the phones, okay? All right. You're in the air.
Okay, I have two questions.
Go ahead.
First off, okay, Dr. Davis won the primary. Does that mean Kenny Stiverson can still run?
No.
Or is he just not the main guy, or he can't run?
The only way he could run at this point would be as a write-in.
Ah. Boy, Scott, I could barely hear you.
That's so interesting.
I think I'm just way out here on this one.
You are way out there.
Yeah, well,
can you hear Glenn okay?
You're not quite as far away from me as you are from Scott, or from Adam, but... I mean, you're pretty far away. I hear you fine over the radio, but boy, over the phone, I can barely hear you.
Okay. You can hear me, though, right?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay, cool.
That's all we need.
Okay, my next question.
Next question.
What exactly is a rhino? Because I've seen rhinos, and I have never seen a politician that looked like a rhino.
Republican in name only. That means somebody that's probably more left than they want you to be.
Oh, that's what that is.
Yeah. Now, is that right, Scott? Did I get that correct?
I believe that's what it is.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, you guys wouldn't believe this. I looked out my window, and I see a blimp.
You're kidding. I wonder what event is happening. Oh, I know what they're doing. They're going over to the Indy 500. So they'll be going right over the top of us, yeah?
Well, the speed he's traveling, yeah, he might be there by Sunday.
Yeah, it'll take him a while. Yeah.
But he's way out here in Big Island.
Oh, my goodness. Way north, huh? Okay.
Yeah. West.
West, I'm sorry. That's right. It is west, isn't it? It's not north. Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's a blimp.
I bet it is. Goodyear always covers it with the blimp, and I bet they are flying right over you. Yep.
Hey, I do have a question.
Yes, it does come from Akron.
Isn't Akron north of Marion?
Yeah, but it's east and north. Yeah. They have to go along with the winds too. So.
Yeah, that could be.
Quite often they do come down here.
Up there floating along.
Cool. What'd you say, Scott?
I said I do have a question to relay. Does this caller think that Nan Whaley can win? Or is it like Renacci said, the Republicans can do anything because the Democrats don't have a chance?
Could you hear him?
Yeah, I heard him.
Okay.
I'll give it the sports analogy. Anybody can win on any given day.
There you go. That's kind of what I said this morning. I said you might have two strikes against you, but you can always hit a home run.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think, Scott?
Sure, anybody can win, but my question is it probable? I mean, is she going to have to do some work here in the next 6 months?
It depends on who you got at bat. Some people hit better with two strikes on her.
I mean, she's going to have to put the work in. But
yep.
Yeah. There's no question about that. She's going to have to put the work in, but yeah, she could win.
But is it going to be harder for her because of low name recognition and being a woman?
Oh, absolutely.
Probably.
I think, yeah.
She's going to have to work harder. Depends on how bad she wants it. Depends on how much she works.
Well, that's the question.
There you go. Well, thanks a lot, caller. I think those are good questions. And thanks for letting us know about the blimp going over you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right.
Here's the story I wanted to tell. This morning, I had Neil Zucker on in hour number one. He's got a great new book out, The Ohio Disasters, Stories of Tragedy and Courage That Should Not Be Forgotten. Really good book. So I interviewed him from 8 to 9, and then I knew I had Dr. Davis coming on at 9:15 to talk about his win, which was announced this morning. And I... got ready like I normally do to come back after the break, and I started doing the interview with Dr. Davis, and all of a sudden people are trying to get in on the phone, and I'm thinking, why are people trying to call in? They know I've got somebody on the line. And then I got a message that nobody could hear anything, and I thought, oh no, the towers went offline, or we lost connection, or Skype disconnected, something happened. I didn't turn the microphone off.
That'll happen. Yeah.
Yeah, if you want to be heard, you got to turn the mic on.
Yeah, you do. I just realized I left the phone mic up, and that was causing a little bit of a feedback, so I'm sorry if you got your ears squealed into.
Well, the point of that story is I understand technical difficulties are frustrating. Heaven knows I've been through enough of them. It's frustrating at the moment, but to be honest with you, radio and television, I've seen some horrendous things happen, and you can't control it because it's not a stable environment. Do you remember when the light almost fell on Hillary Clinton during the
yes, I do.
Interview?
Uh-huh.
I mean, you think they meant to do that?
I doubt it. We do have another caller, though. Let me go get the caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, I got a question for you guys.
Go.
I like listening to the Live at 5 show, but and I've called in a few times, but they don't really presume to want audience participation.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
They never, encourage the audience to, mm-hmm. and I call in, sometimes I think, well, Lee, maybe, they don't want, the audience participation, maybe you just don't call in, but
I tell you what I do sometimes. I completely forget because I get so enamored with hearing my own voice. not really, but I do forget to do that.
Yeah, but sometimes if you want, the audience to call in, you got to...
Tell them, yeah.
Why do you guys, a lot of times Scott, he wants people to call in
yep.
and...
He asks.
Yeah.
We forget sometimes. We're not as professional as Scott is. What do you think about that, Scott? Do I get a raise?
Oh, my Lord in heaven.
So I'm not wrong in calling in sometimes. So I don't want to be a pest going in.
No, you're absolutely not. We love having audience participation. That's why we're called Marion's Talking Place.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for calling back. Bye-bye. Yeah, what do you think, Scott?
Like I say, you must not have heard the show this morning where I forgot to turn the mic on. That professionalism that was going on. But no, I just want to come back to the point because technical difficulties are going to happen, and it's interesting to me that people can get so strung out about that. I think that's an anger management issue.
Well, I won't tell Dr. Feynman that, all right? Because he was kind of upset and.
Listen, hey, you know what? It's phone lines, internet lines, computers galore, transmitters. Things can happen.
Yep, you got that right, and they do happen. Yeah.
Yeah. So
hey, we got another phone call. Let's go back to the phones. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, just curious why you can't turn Scott's volume up a little more. You and the other callers come in loud and clear, but Scott's way down in a hole.
Well, now Scott is remote, and I'm not sure that he can do that. I think he's calling just directly on a phone like you are, and I'm not quite sure.
Well, I know he's remote, and your other callers are remote, too,
yep.
but come in loud and clear.
Well, we've got his pot all the way to the top, so I wish we could. Yeah, I think I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
Scott, you got any answer for him?
I'll work on it.
Scott's going to work on it.
Okay.
Thanks for calling in. Bye-bye. All right. Yeah, it is kind of problematic, and I don't know what it is.
How far am I coming up in the thing?
Up to the numbers go, they go up to 6, plus 6, and you're coming up to about minus 3.
Well, I'm going to try something here.
Okay.
If somebody else would like to call in, feel free. But let's see here. There's one thing I think I can try.
For some reason or other, you sounded a little louder just for a moment there.
Oh, there. Well, that's good.
Maybe you got closer to the microphone. I don't know.
Maybe. Let's see here. How's that doing? Is that doing anything?
Nope. About the same level.
Nothing at all, huh?
Yeah, nothing at all.
Oh, darn.
Just eat the mic,
this
as we used to say.
Perfect.
Yeah. It must be, and you may have some internet problem out your way anyway.
That could be.
Yeah.
Could be a connection issue.
Yeah.
But in any event, what was it? Where were we? Oh, technical difficulties happen.
Yeah.
Oh, what I wanted to say about the Live at 5 show when you brought up Pastor Craig.
Yeah.
Last Sunday, and I did go back and listen to it, the show replayed where you and he were talking about, your religious background and how mm-hmm. you became an atheist. What a great show that was.
Oh, you liked it.
Oh, fascinating. Fascinating.
I had only one person, but I did have one person look me up to tell me how he hated it because I'm an atheist. I'm the only one that's going to have to, you know, if there is a heaven and hell, I'll have to deal with it. Nobody else will.
But the pastor also interviewed Nate Redmond live that morning at 9:00. Now, I did not hear that live, but I did go back and listen to it, and I found it fascinating because Nate talked about, which I believe for the first time this has happened, talked about his depression and how he's gotten help for it, bipolar, I believe, and how his spirituality has helped him. And I thought that was a fascinating insight into Nate, who, if you met him or listened to him on the radio, you would think he was happy-go-lucky all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, obviously has faced some adversity in his life.
Yeah, that's one of the things that a lot of people are concerned about me being an atheist. Really, I try to be a good person. That's what I try to do. And I'm an atheist only because I've examined for years, being a minister's kid, I've examined for years the books of the Bible. I've read the Bible twice. I don't memorize stuff, so I really don't know. I can't quote a lot of stuff, but I'm not afraid of dying. I'm afraid of the pain of dying, if there's going to be that. But I don't know. I do like Nate. Nate is a good heart. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, it is interesting when you peel the banana a little bit. You find out that everybody has got something. And, this is what I always say about radio personality. You know, there are personalities, and those people tend to not be like they are off the air. And it's more, I hate calling it a show, but it really is more of a show because they want you to love them. And then there are people who are pretty much like they are off the air. And not that they don't want you to like them. They want you to listen. But they're not so concerned with pleasing you because I think they figure, hey, listen, we can agree, we can disagree, but we're going to go on down the road. What I don't understand is people who come on and say that. Because the name of the game is to have people listen, whether they agree or disagree. So why anybody would ever say, turn us off? I don't understand that.
Well, you know, when I was a kid, when I was in my teens and 20s, that's all I wanted. I got into radio when I was about, I don't know, 15, something like that. And that's all I wanted is I wanted people to call in. I wanted to be the jock, you know, the rock jock. And if people didn't listen, that would destroy my self-esteem. As it went along, I found out that it doesn't bother me anymore. I'd like to have thousands and thousands of people listening to me. I know it's probably not going to happen here at WWGH. We do have hundreds, if not thousands, of people that do listen, but not, you know, I'm not holding out for that, and I don't think anybody that decides they want to get into media should hold out for that sort of thing. They should have something to say, and they should care about what they say, and then say it.
Here's the problem. If you start programming your show to what you think the listener wants to hear, it may make them happy, but it's not going to make you happy.
And it's going to sound phony as all get out.
And it's going to sound phony.
Yeah.
And I don't understand that. So I don't know what that is that everybody wants to be loved. it's a bizarre thing to me because now what is the point of radio or television if you're just going to come in every day and never ask a tough question, never take a stance, never I guess I don't know the purpose in the end of that. I don't know. Is it just enjoyment? Is it like circus? I don't know.
Well, look at what all radio has become. Or not all radio, but most radio has become. They just play music And then at the top of the hour, they'll have a newscast that sounds exactly the same at 8 o'clock in the morning as it does at 8 o'clock at night. And radio has lost an awful lot. That's why I like being on Marion's talking place, because we do have a lot of people that talk.
Well, it's a funny thing, because the truth of the matter is listenership is no barometer of the quality of the work that you do, because I can guarantee you that if you did, let's say, paternity tests for 45 minutes on the radio, that will be listened to more than an interview with
paternity tests.
Oh yeah, people love that. People love that surprise, but that's not going to hold up in years. Like these zoo programs, you know, the zoo programs that are on a lot of the stations.
Yeah.
You know, you ever notice that when those shows go away, they go away? They're very popular, but when they go away, there's nothing in that people want to hear again. It's very dated. There's not anything there that you put in a time capsule.
Well, there's a show on TV called Mean Girls or something like that, where they say bad things about people, and people listen to that crap. Excuse the expression, but why would you want to listen about bad things about other people? Well, I'll tell you exactly why. Because you have low esteem and you don't have enough confidence in yourself to think you're as good as other people, so you want to hear other people run down. That's all I can see.
But the best advice in broadcasting that you can ever give to anybody is be yourself.
Yeah, or don't do it. Yeah.
Well, I mean, some people... I always say there's a very well-known broadcaster who did very well in the broadcasting business, and I have worked with them, and they are one of the phoniest people. The person on the air and off the air are completely different, and that's fine. And I don't have any desire to out that person, but that clearly was, I don't know, there were some insecurities there.
Well, if they're genuinely interested while they're on the air and not interested when they get off the air, at least while they're on the air, you're hearing them be genuinely interested, I hope. Or are you saying this person really isn't interested? He just goes through the...
The person was everybody's friend on the air and was very... let's see, how do I want to say this? Was very... would never lose the temper, but man, as soon as the mic went off, this person would yell at the engineer. Person would yell at the people in the room. This person would be angry with something that happened during the show and yell at the guest. I mean, it got to a point where we couldn't get anybody to engineer this person's show anymore.
Well, it's kind of like yelling at the waiter because there's a fly in your soup. The waiter didn't put the fly in your soup. He just brought the soup to the table, and then you scream at him. Well, that's kind of and I had to learn that the hard way. I screamed at a guy because of a steak that was delivered really badly. But my wife, after it was over, she said, "You know, the only person that cared about that were the people around you that you were embarrassing." So, yeah.
Well, that's, you know, here's the funny thing. When you complain about something off the air that you would not complain about on the air, there is a little bit of falseness in that. And I think, well, now why don't you show everybody who you really are?
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's see that. Because, I don't know, it's a strange business. You run into a lot of that, but then you run into people who are completely like they are off the air, and you say, well, hey, you know, and I think they're more successful, to be honest.
I hope so.
They'll live on longer.
Well, now, I do, my wife and I still argue about this. I do believe that you should tell your waiter if there's a fly in your soup, because there's a fly in your soup and you don't want to eat it, but you do it in a nice way, because he didn't put it there. Yeah, Threats,
now, see, the threat,
that doesn't help.
The threat is the problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
Once you start threatening people, that is a turnoff.
Yeah. And if you don't tell him that there's a fly in your soup, his boss will never find out that there's a fly in your soup, and so therefore nothing will ever get changed. So it kind of working back up the chain of command.
Well, anytime you ever leverage yourself in life, which is what a threat is, I think that you have left a bad taste in whoever you... Why would you threaten somebody?
Yeah.
I'm not even talking about physical... violence. I'll never eat here again if we're talking about a restaurant.
Yeah. And
why are you, I mean, do you think you just endeared yourself to that place?
Not only that, but first of all, it's probably not the truth if you've been going there before. And second of all you're doing is making everybody angry.
It doesn't help. Right, and why do you think that restaurant's going to collapse with
yeah,
that
human? Right. Oh my God, we lost that person.
Yeah. So I don't understand that. I'm okay with pointing out things that are wrong, but threatening, I don't understand that at all.
Doesn't make sense, does it?
No, it's a very silly thing to do, because it also shows how much there is a bit of self-absorption there to say I, you know, that you won't survive without me.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to threaten somebody right now. I got to get this in before the day is over.
Go ahead.
I truly believe that our National Republican Party has blood on their hands and helped murder 19 kids and 2 adults. And I think because they have done nothing except for stonewall any attempt to get rules that are sane and logical about our guns. And now Australia did away with guns, basically. You had to have a reason to have a gun, like if you were a farmer or if you were a hunter, they allowed that. And they went from having mass murders to none. There are lots of rules that we can pass that will certainly at least minimize having to go through what we went through yesterday and what parents are going through for the next months and months and months. Yeah, I'm done. It kills my heart.
I'll tell you what's tough. I remember when the Columbine shooting happened. And I remember Rosie O'Donnell was doing a live, basically variety show at that time. Her talk show was a variety show.
Mm-hmm.
She'd have celebrities on, and
great.
It was, you know, always happy. It was not a current event show.
I remember.
It was upbeat. And yep. I remember after that she came on and she cried. It was a live show, and it was horrible. And then she had Tom Selleck on. And Tom Selleck was a spokesperson for the NRA. And he was just there to plug his movie on this very sprightly talk show. And because it was so close to the Columbine incident, Rosie O'Donnell kind of attacked Tom Selleck. And I think when these things happen, I'm not saying people aren't going to feel the same way in 6 weeks, but the days after are very, very
tender,
raw.
Yeah.
It's tense. It's raw because who in the world wants to see children shot? Nobody. There is no Republican, Democrat, man, woman, child. Nobody wants to see that. What we're talking about here is philosophy, and I don't know what people's... Philosophy is a very tough one, because there's a lot of philosophy going on in the world, and I don't think anybody would say they wanted to see that happen. It's a matter of, I guess, what do you believe is causing it? And I guess we just don't all see the things the same way.
No, I understand that, and I do believe nobody wants to see children killed. I'm not saying that at all, but the fact that they have stonewalled any legislation that might help, even one little tiny help, I believe they are, in my opinion, murderers far out degree. Yeah.
I have a question about this. Now, it's my understanding right now the Senate is Democrat by one vote.
Mm-hmm.
The House is Democrat by a considerable amount.
Yeah, six or seven, yeah.
Six or seven, but enough.
Yeah.
and the president is a Democrat.
Yep.
Now, why has gun legislation not been voted on?
Because
no executive order from the vice or president.
You can't get around filibuster. You have to have 60 votes, not 50, which we have. We have 50 votes, and then the vice president. But
didn't Obama do an executive order?
I don't know where executive orders are allowed on things like this. I'm certain that if there was a way to make some sort of executive order work, Biden would have done it by now, as far as this goes. I don't know. And if he isn't, then I would feel bad that he hasn't. And I would like to say something about that.
Yeah, here it is, because I want to make sure I'm correct. On January 5th, 2016, President Obama unveiled his new strategy to curb gun violence in America. His proposals focus on new background check requirements that will enhance the effectiveness of the national criminal background check system. And
what happened?
I believe that this was done by executive order.
But nothing's been done. So why was the executive order either ignored or not allowed?
I think it was done until I believe it was lifted by President Trump, I believe.
Okay. Well, now I do understand that Chuck Schumer is seriously contemplating putting it to a vote, so all the Republicans who are going to vote against allowing young children to live will have to put their name on, I will not allow this to go on.
Why do you think that Obama did it in January of 2016? Why do you think Biden hasn't done it?
Well, maybe there is, and I really don't know how that works, the executive order stuff. Maybe Biden found out that nobody would apply it and could do it legitimately. I don't know. I can't answer that.
That's a good.
I'd like to ask the question if I was.
The only person who I am aware that got gun legislation passed was Bill Clinton.
Yeah, absolutely, and that was with the assault weapons, yeah.
Yeah, and I believe George W. Bush overturned that.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah, now I've fired, as most of my listeners know, I was in the Army, so I've fired an M16, I've fired an M1. I've seen the difference that an M16 can make as opposed to an M1, and anybody who thinks there isn't a difference, a fool. And, matter of fact, what they did is they put a gas can at the end of the firing range to show us the difference of the impact of an M16. Now, it's like a .22-size bullet, and the M1 is a much bigger bullet. And we fired the M1, hit the gas can, and, yeah, it went through the gas can, and all the gas came out the back, but it didn't explode. The M16 hit the gas can, and there was a big explosion at the end because it's going at a much higher speed. It can tumble a little bit if it hits something on the way. Now, it probably wasn't coming out of that on the firing range, but once it hits the can that the gas was in, it tumbles and causes sparks, which cause the explosion. So I don't, and rips everything apart. Why we can't stop that, I don't know.
Well, isn't the real reason, though, that the NRA gives to both parties? I mean, isn't that what it really all comes down to?
Money is the root of all evil. let's face it.
There's different amounts of money given, but the NRA, and they accept it. Democrats accept it just like Republicans do. And
yeah, and I think Democrats have to get some guts, just like I think all people need to get some guts, and they need to say enough is enough. I quit taking any money, and I'm sure there are some that have. The NRA is broke anyway. Why take a check from a broke organization? I don't know.
Well, I think a lot of people feel that what is going on here, because our gun laws were not, we really didn't have many gun laws prior to Bill Clinton.
No.
And haven't had many since him. But the shootings are going up. And I think a lot of people feel this is more about truly, I think in their heart, they really do feel it's more about mental illness, that there are more suicides in this country now than there have ever been. There's more cases of people on disability because of depression. There are more cases of diagnosed depression. I don't know what's going on.
I think that's a cheap blame. I really do, Scott. I think anybody that changes the reason to mental illness, of course we need to take care of folks that have mental illness, but people are getting mentally ill because they're afraid their kids are going to get blown away in school. The people, you know, it just drives me nuts that we blame stuff on mental illness when, in fact, there are lots of rules that we could pass right now and that have been passed by the House, but the Republicans will not allow it to come to a vote in the Senate.
I guess what I'm curious about is, I mean, let's take the gun thing out of it for a second. Why do you think we're at an all-time high for suicides?
I have no idea. I'm not a psychiatrist.
What is going on in the country because clearly that's mental illness.
Yeah.
Now, what is going on? I mean, that doesn't impact that's not mass killings. These are people who are killing themselves.
Yep.
Now, why are they doing this? I mean, why are we doing this in record numbers?
Well, we keep sending young men and women to kill other people in other countries, which causes a great deal of stress in their brains. They come back. They don't know what to do. The only thing they know how to do is kill somebody else. I knew how to kill a person in 8 seconds with a bayonet when I got out of basic training. They've learned things. And I
have been in Marion for over 40 years, and I've never seen as many homeless people with signs on corners than I have in the last 6 months.
Well, that's part of the deal. We will not pass anything to help them out either.
Yeah, but what's happened here? I mean, what is going on? What has happened?
Well, people, and I hate to say it, people from the right side are saying that it's all, they can do it by themselves. They don't need my help. Well, we all need to help each other. I mean, the fact that people claim to be Christian and do not listen to that part of the Bible drives me absolutely bazonk.
here's the thing, and I don't understand this. I know a lot of people who do a lot of charity work in this town, and great for them.
Yep.
But when's the last time you ever heard any charity event done for the homeless shelter?
I don't know. I know that when I was at the credit union, quite about every quarter, I would take a rather large check and food over to the food pantry, which is kind of helping.
Yeah, but I mean, we have a homeless shelter here in Marion, mm-hmm. where, and if anybody wants to correct me on this, that is usually full, that you have to leave during the day, even in the winter months, because they have to clean.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, why are people not raising money to fix that problem? Why are we giving, and you know what, give money to whatever you want, I guess, but you know, I don't know that anything is more prescient than people standing on a corner with a sign who may not have anything to eat that day. Why is that not? And you know, that's a city government thing. Mm-hmm. City government could allocate money for that issue. That's a building that's inside the city. Now, why is that never brought up? I hear about potholes.
There are a lot of people that claim and think, and I'm sure they honestly believe this, that those people deserve to be there because they didn't work hard enough, which is BS. Quite frankly,
yeah,
it's BS.
And our city government here, I mean, where...
Okay,
by talking about potholes and blighted houses.
Do you want to fill the potholes and have more cops and firemen, or do you want to give some money to a person that's down on their luck? I'll guarantee you the potholes will take it over the poor guy or lady or family that's sitting out there broken, and everybody's pointing a finger behind the scenes. They're saying, yeah, that's because they don't want to work. That is BS. My wife was a social worker and saw a lot of people like that, and believe me, none of them well, I'm sure there probably was one out of a thousand or something, but most of them wanted to get to work. They wanted to do right. They know what people expect of them.
Well, let me ask you this.
Welfare mothers. That's what people say. I'm sorry.
When is the last time you heard anybody on the local level running for anything from any party even have the word homeless come out of their mouth?
Actually, I did when I ran.
Okay, well, you.
And the only reason why I did, and you're absolutely right, I should have done it more, but the only reason why I did is because I had a homeless man come up and ask me a question at one of my meetings, and I told him what I would do. Now, one of my biggest ways that I put myself to sleep at night is in my head. I think if I ever hit the lottery, the first thing I'm going to do is put up homeless shelter areas. I'm going to put up little tiny houses for the homeless people. I'm going to help them get back on their feet. But unfortunately, there aren't very many people that care about the homeless people. My father would take in homeless people. Dad was a minister, and they would sleep in our basement, and we'd give them food, and my mother worked for their Goodwill, and she'd get them clothes and stuff like that. So I was brought up that way. I was really lucky, and I understand most people don't see those people the way they are. They see them the way they hear about them. You know, that's just a lazy welfare mom, and that's BS.
Well, I guess my point is, yesterday at lunch, mm-hmm. I drove a 10-minute drive in Marion, Ohio, mm-hmm. from out here by Meyer. I pass by Aldi's. There's a whole homeless man standing in the parking lot there. And I get to the other side of town, and there's a homeless man standing out by the mall with a sign. Mm-hmm. Now, that's lunch hour in Marion, Ohio, in a 10-minute drive. Mm-hmm. Now, why is this? I mean, if I see it, I'm sure the local politicians see it. Now, why is that not an issue? Why isn't that being talked about at city council? Who are the advocates here?
Another problem is, not only do the people not believe that person, they think they're just trying to scam something, and maybe they are, but they also... that's what they believe. They believe it's just a con to get your money or get in your car or something like that. I've picked up a couple of people. I took one guy to a motel. I took a young woman down in Columbus. I took her to a place that she was going to get some help. And in both cases, they just needed a little help. They didn't need me to give them. Now, I did give the one, I did give him, give the girl, I bought her a sandwich, but the guy I didn't, I bought him a motel room, but I don't know, people don't trust other people, they think everybody's on the take because so many people have been on the take. We had a president that was on the take, and still is, and his entire family and everybody that worked for him, apparently it's coming out that they were all on the take, and now nobody will, well, half of the population doesn't believe it.
Do you think, though, there's some credence to the fact, you know, when we talk about suicide and homelessness,
yeah,
that impacts everybody across the board, that maybe we talk too much about things like, I don't know, program, people can do whatever they want with their programs, but, you know, how much time do we spend on homelessness and suicide? Not a whole lot.
Well,
we certainly spend much more time on other topics.
Well, I tell you what, I'm going to find a way to put on my show something about homeless people, because that's a good point. It's a very good point, Scott, and I wish we would do more of it. Yeah.
So we're guilty as everybody else, and I don't know why that is. I don't know. I don't.
Because everybody thinks they're scamming them. Nobody believes those poor folks that are down on their luck.
Right, but I guess the issue for me is that people get, I'll tell you, and I'm not pointing, because we all do it at one time or another, but I hear people get exercised about politics. I hear people get exercised about mask wearing. I hear
me this morning.
yeah, but I mean, that's what we get exercised about. I've never heard anybody rant about homelessness.
Well, you'll hear me.
Yeah, Well, but I mean, real. It's an interesting thing. I've never heard anybody rant about suicide rates. I've never heard anybody rant about the things that are continuously going on. That, I mean, we're almost very three-dimensional in a way. We're much more interested in things that I don't know. Are they more glamorous to talk about? Are they more?
Nobody's
for homelessness.
I don't think people think there's anything they can do about it. And on the suicide rate, you aren't old enough, but probably back about when you were born, we decided as a nation to throw everybody out of the mental health hospitals.
Oh, I remember that.
Okay. And that didn't help a bit. Hey, we're getting awful short on time, though, Scott.
Yeah, we're down to a minute, so don't forget Glenn and Dr. Feynman should be fine today because Glenn's heard the callers okay.
Yep.
12:15 to 1 p.m., and they've heard him okay. Then we've got Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redman, 4:10 to 5 p.m. Live at 5 today with Pastor Craig, Terry Tackett, and Nate Redman from 5:10 to 6 p.m. And the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon from 6:10 to 7 p.m. But I think, in general, with 30 seconds left to go, that maybe we'll take a little time and maybe pay a little more attention to some things that maybe matter a little more than the trivial stuff that we go over quite a bit.
Good idea, and I'm going to have to go home and do a doobie to calm down. No, I don't do that anymore.
All right. Well, have a fun show.
Okay, thanks a lot, and everybody, we'll talk to you in about 15 minutes. Bye-bye.
The place is WWGH 107.1 FM.
In tune with WWGH. And we have a lot for you today, including the person we've been talking about for such a long time that was going to come again to WWGH, Mr. McFeely from Mr. Rogers.
Speedy Delivery.
Hey! Boy, that sure sounds familiar.
The place is WWGH 107.1 FM. Welcome back.
I'm going to do one of my poems here tonight.
I hope, I hope so. The Tom Snyder Bob Hope story.
Oh, that's you want to hear it now?
No, we want to get the answer to the question.
Oh, okay. But your question is not, I disagree. Don't you disagree? Or don't you agree,
you disagree
that
with
gossip,
the question?
Because it contains three words, gossip and tabloid. And I think those are the same. Thou shalt not better ever never hurt. If you gave it a thought, you'd have never fought. It only made things worse.
That's pretty good. Very nice. Good. You know what depresses me about
should
that? That would have never made a Hope special.
It just no. Never made
it. Here we go.